Hello and welcome to, I was almost said episode number, but we don't do that on hearing. Hello and welcome No. to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, we've got a little bit of a listener submitted from Bodo Winter, a regular commenter on Zombie Takeout. He commented on our Queensryche review a few weeks ago. He left us a voicemail, but this is our last episode of the year, and I'm not editing in a voicemail. Like I said on Zombie Takeout, you're lucky that there's music at the top and bottom. He said he liked the Queensryche review. He also said metal is opera, referencing my comment that metal is musical theater for guys. Really good metal is opera. Most of it is just cheap Broadway. Also, we've reviewed 1st of October this year. Their debut album, their new album just came out. It's fucking brilliant. 11 songs in 12 hours.
Nice.
There's one called Granddad's Dinner Party. Very, very Primus. Another one called Bookmobile about Rob Scallon's mother, who apparently drives a bookmobile. they go very Rage Against the Machine on that one.
That's funny.
So it's called Gotta Record Everything Good, Greg. There's a reference to Rob's possibly fictional neighbor Greg on both albums. So, yeah, very, very amusing. If you like the first album, definitely check this one out. And now on to our best of the year lists. We don't do worst of the year lists on the hearing because we pick all the albums and we couldn't really come up with even five that we hated that much. Starting with
I think
me,
we'd just be rehashing like old things that we said on those episodes anyway.
Kind of do that on Zombie Takeout with our worst lists, but we still do it. I honestly just couldn't come up with five albums that I hated. For number 10 on my best list, though, Stick Your Fingers by the Rolling Stones. I said on Zombie Takeout that if you told me Cloud Atlas would be on my best list, I'd have laughed at you. Same for the Rolling Stones. If you told me they would be on my best list, I would have laughed at you, but it was really a revelation. Number 9, Singing the Blues by B.B. King. Just, it's B.B. King.
I have a feeling our lists are going to be pretty close.
Probably. Number 8, Run the Jewels 2 by Run the Jewels. I mentioned a few weeks ago, it really kind of reacquainted me with hip-hop. Really turned me back onto hip-hop. Number 7, the jazz album Spark by Hiromi. Really loved it. She, like I said, she got me into playing keyboards, into playing piano. Number 6, The Light by Spock's Beard. Loved them for decades. Since Neil was actually in the band. Number 5, Death for the Whole World to See. Amazing they did that in the mid-70s. Number 4, 10 Hours by 1st of October. Number 3, Blood Red Sun by Jasmine Rogers. Number 2, Daddy's Home by St. Vincent. She was on both of, at number 2 on both of my lists on both shows.
Oh, yeah.
And number 1, of course, Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it was tough to get it pared down to 10.
Mm.
So, like, the order, I don't know. The order is, like,
you're feels always like, kind of in no particular order with these.
It's kind of, it feels like it would be another week's worth of debating just to get the order after just having it pared down to 10. I mean, like Spock's Beard, ZZ Top, and Joe Jackson really I wanted to put on, but I only had 10.
I just kind of go on impulse in the moment and don't really think about the order too much.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It's whatever so, feels right at the time.
For, you know, I mean, like the last three, obviously, or the ones, or last four, actually, were like the ones, you know, that beat out the other, those three I just mentioned. And they are B.B. King, Mountain, System of a Down, and Death. Well, Death was pretty easy. Death, when I listened to it again, like for the first time since we reviewed it, was like, oh yeah, this is, oh my God, this is so good. I mean, it is like the Who. It's so many crazy things mixed together. And it's only 1974. Mm. 5, Fear of a Black Planet by Public Enemy. 4, the Rolling Stone Sticky Fingers, 3 Faith No More's Angel Dust, 2 Led Zeppelin 4, and 1 St. Vincent Daddy song.
Okay, so we flipped them. I had to give Zeppelin number one.
If it were Houses of the Holy, I might have been there.
Actually, I think Houses is probably my favorite too.
Yeah.
Dishonorable mention, for me anyway, The Firm. I loved that album from the 80s and 90s, but it just aside from the three that I still have in heavy rotation, it just didn't hold up. And on to this week's album, which is from 1985, Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo. Oingo Boingo was an American new wave band formed in 1979 out of the remains of the surrealist musical theater troupe, the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo, and are best known for being led by composer Danny Elfman. Yes, he was a rock star before he was a film composer.
Right.
Incidentally, I found out that several members, or a few handful of members, have reformed as the Oingo Boingo former members is what they're calling themselves. It's basically a tribute show.
It's Oingo Boingo without Elfman.
And what's I think it's the original drummer, bassist, and one of the horn players. I think maybe the keyboard player was with them originally, with some newer people and a new singer, because Elfman has just too, he said his hearing is significantly damaged because of, years of playing live, and he doesn't want to make it worse.
I think the obvious question, though, is Steve Bartek in on it?
I don't think so. I think it's Vatos, Johnny Vila, and Sluggo with some additional players. I think one of the keyboard player, Carl Graves, was with them for a while as
Because
well.
if there's one takeaway from this whole thing, it is Steve Bartek is the guy.
Dead Man's Party, onto this week's album, is the band's fifth album. It was released on October 28th, 1985, by MCA Records, produced by Danny Elfman and Steve Bartek, and features Danny Elfman on vocals and rhythm guitar, Steve Bartek on guitar, Mike Basich, I don't know, guessing that pronunciation, on keyboards, John Avila on bass guitar and vocals, Johnny Vatos Hernandez on drums, Sam Sluggo Phillips on tenor sax, Leon Schneiderman on baritone sax and alto sax, and Dale Turner on trumpet and trombone. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our episodes for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find links to Dead Man's Party on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along if you'd like. On to track one, Just Another Day. This is my favorite. Incidentally, this was featured in the 85 film That Was Then, This Is Now. Just bring that up for a little 80s flashback.
I'm gonna go the opposite. I'm picking this for weakest.
Oh, this is not only my favorite Boingo song, one of my favorites of all time. Love the little slide down in the fretless at the beginning. The lyrics are very much up for interpretation. Elfman's never stated what it's about. To me, it's about mental illness, and I very much relate to it. Love the verse melody. Love the low harmonies that pop up here and there. Love how present the bass is. There's some nice little lead lines here and there. That little repeating marimba part that plays throughout the song should bug the shit out of me, but I actually don't notice it except for the beginning. Love
Think these are
that.
keyboard sounds that, were around for a lot longer before this.
Well, I don't care if they're new or not. And I actually think that's a marimba and not a keyboard.
No.
Love the scream right before the instrumental break. Love the line, a couple of lines I love. And just when I think that things are in their place, the heavens are secure, the whole thing explodes in my face. And there's a line at the end in the fade, or not the fade, but in the very end of the song that he sings very high, a little hard to understand, took me years to decipher. It's "Please Leave My Heart,"
Okay.
in reference to the illness.
So, I mean, I think the guitar work really elevates this song
The
from what it
Bartok's
is.
amazing.
And I didn't, I think I had always assumed Elfman was a keyboard player because of his his score, his
Well,
soundtrack
he does
work.
play keys as well, and marimba, and he plays a handful of instruments, but he's mostly known as the rhythm guitarist and singer.
Yeah, so it might not just be Bartek playing, it could be both of them playing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna assume that all of the interesting guitar parts are Bartek, just
Yeah, I'd
because, you
assume that too. But yeah, I think the sound was just, by this point, you're kind of expecting more. The drums kind of sound like a drum machine, and yeah, the synths are just kind of tired by this point.
a lot of the drums, I
So,
think, are electronic, but it's probably an actual kit that he's playing a lot.
yeah.
On to track two, the title track, Dead Man's Party. This, of course, appeared in the '86 film Back to School, where the band also performed.
He was always into soundtrack work even before.
Yeah, they did a ton of soundtrack
Yeah.
stuff. I think there was a number of other tracks on this album that are on soundtracks. Love that guitar riff, that da 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 da. Love that riff.
I like that they let the bass out a little bit more in this.
And
I think it was
it's a
buried in
synth
the last
bass.
one.
Love that sound. Love the overdriven guitar tone, the low harmony that comes in here or there. I'm accustomed to the version on Best of Blingo, their compilation album, that's a bit louder. So it was interesting to hear the original.
I don't think I'd ever noticed the ska influence in this before that. And of course, Talking Heads too.
Oh yeah, if you've never noticed ska influence in Boingo, you've never heard anything before this. Because they were for the first few albums, they were basically a ska band.
Right. I mean, and then this one, the similarities between like English Beat, Beer in the Bathroom is.
Right. Love this, the horn stabs in the chorus. There are coin references in two consecutive songs. In this case, a shiny silver dollar on either eye, very direct reference.
Yeah.
In Just Another Day, there's a golden coin that reflects the sun. The whole middle verse is about suicidal ideation and imagining being dead. So it's the golden coin is on the eyes.
Right.
But this is basically goth. And a lot of their stuff is kind of goth.
Yeah, there's a very Echo and the Bunnymen sensibility to both of these. But the horns, I think, detract from a lot of it for me. Just the it's like, remember we did Power Station? I think that was last year. Although time is meaningless at this
Yeah,
point,
it's a
isn't
flat circle.
it? It's the horns, I think I called generic 80s horns. It was the same year as this, and it was like you could just listen to the same two albums back to back, and it was like, are those the same horn players?
I should mention this is where Boingo went pop, and
Yeah.
they did get a lot of flack for that. This is when they made a turn for pop away from kind of their earlier more ska or influence
Did they
stuff.
get flack? Because I always thought they were very much a critic's favorite, I always thought.
They got a lot of love from the critics, but a lot of fans who love their more ska-based stuff
Yeah.
hated that they went pop on this. And given a few of the songs, I get that. But love his vocal on the "Don't Run Away" part. "Don't Run Away, It's Only Me." And that all the random sounds during the keyboard solo. On to track three, "Heard Somebody Cry," one of the more poppy songs. Love
It's the
that.
first one I haven't heard before on this.
Same here,
Yeah.
because there's like five that I know very well, and
Yeah,
the other
same.
four I have kind of mixed opinions about.
Yeah.
Nice groove, like the bass synth sound, nice snappy electric snare. Like I said, I don't think it was a drum machine except for on one song. I think it was
Oh.
just Vatos playing an electronic kit.
My notes say, gee, I wonder whose drum sound they're lifting here.
Oh, yeah. It was 85.
I mean, he's just doing this in the air tonight,
Yeah.
almost.
Nice. The chorus gives it a nice lift. Good harmonies in the chorus. Love the guitar sound on the solo.
Love the
And
guitar sound. And
it's.
is he doing Stevie from Bowie's Let's Dance?
Little bit, yeah. The
Yeah.
thing with Bartek, he's a damn good player, but it's not even his playing that's so much impressive, just the tones he gets.
I think so. And some of them are just like, wow, that's amazing. I wouldn't have expected that to come from there. So it's kind of like the one surprise I felt like I was getting. Yeah, this one would have definitely been on like the weaker tracks
Yeah,
of the album, this
it
one.
was almost my pick for weakest until
Yeah.
another one came along. I think the solo gets a bit noisy, but it fits the song. The outro is a bit long. On to track four, No One Lives Forever. This was a close second to my pick for favorite.
This is my strongest. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is what I was expecting when I signed up for this.
How familiar are you with Boingo?
Mostly singles.
Go and check out their first few albums, but they'll be much more your style.
We did the Forbidden Zone, and I remember really enjoying that a lot, and was kind of expecting more along the line with that instead of what we got.
Yeah, the first three or four, everything up until this album, I think you'd dig.
Let's get to this.
Yeah, I do like the way the intro builds tension. It's kind of dark. It's dark and minor, but still upbeat.
There's this Weird Al Yankovic feel they're going for it. It's just fucking great. I mean,
the chorus actually goes kind of klezmer. It's, you know, the Jewish kind of jazz music.
Right, right. I was thinking like Russian folk music. Mm-hmm. What is that? This is definitely the song where the arrangement of the horns is definitely the most creative here, where it's less not like...
This is classic old school Boingo. And it's basically a memento mori. It's, you know, you're gonna die, so live it up while you can.
So, I mean, there's a few songs on this album that are on most people's Halloween playlists. Mm-hmm. You know, the last track and Dead Man's Party.
Right.
But this one would, like, blow people's minds.
Yeah, that's true. I picked this for a Halloween episode for the obvious reason, for this Halo track, of
definitely.
Course. But yeah, this one definitely lives up to it much better. And I love that he speaks the verses.
Right. Like, it's like this Russian folk music with, like, a slight rap to it. Like, wow.
Another one,
why could they have given us more of this?
When the lights go out, another one of their songs, another one of the favorites of theirs, giant drums and another deep spoken vocal. But I love the harmonies in the chorus. And the whole lyric in the chorus, let's have a party. There's a full moon out tonight. It's the hour of the wolf and I don't want to die. I'm so happy dancing while the Grim Reaper cuts, but he can't catch me. I'm as clever as can be and I'm very quick, but don't forget, we've only got so many tricks. No one lives forever.
I think it was like Eagles of Death Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Queens of the Stone? One of those, you know, bands that Dahlholm, where he was the one that does like Silver Lake in the cover of Save a Prayer, but they use like the same kind of vocal effect, you know, the high and the low together, the serious dramatic things, but it's absurd.
Love that really dramatic horn riff that comes in after the chorus. And
I was gonna say, what is that groove that they're? What are the instruments they're using to get that groove?
In this case, it's just guitar, bass, drums, keys, and horns.
Is it? They're just playing it in that way, and the way they mix it. It kind of sounds stringy a little bit, though.
Well, there's synthesizers, but
yeah,
you know, there's some synth bits here and there. There's this great trombone bit going into the second verse. Just this really quick, fast part. Another great line in the second verse. You think you've got it rough? How about your darling doggy? And tense your ears, he's getting old and groggy. You just can't not dance to that chorus. But it also just sounds so sinister at the same time. And the bass in the verse is just one note. But it works. I mentioned this with Billy Gould a couple of weeks ago. He can just play these real simple parts that fit beautifully. Same deal. It's just one note. Love the panned bell kind of synth solo. And then there's this Indian melody going into the repeat of the first verse.
Right. Yeah, it just comes from out of nowhere. It's...
Mm-hmm. If I didn't relate to Just Another Day so much in terms of lyrics, this would have definitely been my favorite. On to track five, Stay. The love song, essentially, the ballad, kind of.
Yeah, this one kind of drags a bit, too.
This is one that I knew from Best of Boingo as well. I've always enjoyed it. Love that kind of off-kilter guitar riff. Nice drum sound, huge drums. Love the simple but very present bass, great vocal. The overdriven guitar in the choruses sounds great.
The guitar really carries it through.
Love the Dolphin mentions prison in a love song.
The band Spoon, I think, completely ripped this off too. Like, don't you ever, only it's without horns.
And love the horn stabs in the second chorus, and how it all kind of just slowly fades except for the keys. On to track six, Fool's Paradise. This is the only, I think, the only song that I didn't know going in that I really liked. Great
Yeah, they really
opening.
went for Bowie here. They went full Bowie. Like Lodger, look back in
Okay.
anger.
I have a note that it reminds me a bit of Talking Heads. But love the opening guitar riff, great big snare sound, love the horn riff as well. Great gets distorted guitar parts. The great call and response between the horns and guitar. The chorus melody reminds me a bit of Talking Heads.
Yeah, he definitely does get into some burn.
Great
With
harmonies in the
Duran Duran
chorus.
too.
Okay, I didn't catch that. And the slow kind of feedback heavy guitar solo. This is slow guitar solo with a ton of feedback. On to track seven, Help Me. Good groove in the chorus, great crystalline guitar tone. It's kind of just this kind of moody new wave thing that's a bit.
This is a little surprising, this one, because it
Yeah.
felt like a straight up rock song, you know?
Well, it is kind of just this moody new wave thing for the verses, which I was kind of enjoying.
Was kind of like a lover boy feel to it.
And then it's got some nice subtle slap. But then in the chorus, we get into this kind of gospel-y thing. And it just didn't quite match up for me.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird. I think they were going for like a Prince. Kind of pastiche.
But it goes from major to minor to major, and
Yeah.
the tone just completely pulls a 180, which I appreciate, but it's just it was too up, too jagged and too sudden for me.
You don't expect Prince and Loverboy together.
But there were some nice harmonies in the second verse, great sax solo. Love the sort of fragile, overdriven tone in the guitar solo. On to track eight. My pick for weakest, same man I was before. This is just very cliche 80s pop.
They go for like a straight up Depeche Mode or Dead or Alive.
I've heard those program drums before.
Oh yeah,
There's some
there's a lot of this album I've heard before.
interesting harmonies in the chorus. I like the horn riff, but that's about it.
I think Weird Al ripped this off actually, because he does a song "Everything You Know Is Wrong," which I people are claiming it's a They Might Be Giants song that he was going for, but I think he might. Why hasn't Weird Al and Elfman ever worked together?
I don't see that working. Elfman, particularly nowadays, takes himself very seriously.
Should he, though?
Well, whether or not he should is a debate, but I love his songwriting, despite some questionable songs on this one.
Mean, actually, I like this song. It is straight up
Okay.
a pop song, but I think the weirdness to it really makes it interesting to listen to, at least.
And finally, track nine, Weird Science.
Ride the groove.
From the movie Weird Science, Elfman stated that he wrote this song spontaneously in his car after getting the call from John Hughes about composing the song for the movie. Went on to become their most commercially successful singer or single, which Elfman later regretted because he believed that it just didn't really fit into their repertoire.
It's of the singles on this album, I think it's the strongest, because it has this he creates a wall of sound towards the end, and they've got this great groove to ride.
Maybe it's because I heard it too many times, but I mean, of the three really well-known songs on this one, it's kind of my least favorite. I do like that opening harmonized bit, "From my heart and from my hands, why don't people understand my intentions?" That's just classic. It does have a great groove.
And
Classic.
taking the kind of a sympathetic look at Frankenstein himself,
Great classic synth bass part. I think the song is better than the movie.
I'm surprised we haven't reviewed the movie.
Love
probably
the,
the most Duran Duran they get on this.
yeah. Love the overdriven guitar sound. I like the way he sings "Flesh and Blood."
I
Do you think the
like
instrument?
when they come back later in the song, like the he just comes back to the "My Creation" part. It's such a James Brown kind of thing where they're like throwing off the cape and running back to the mic to get some more.
Love. Yeah, I do think, yeah, like I said, instrumental breaks a little long, but yeah, it's a fun song. I was watching a video for Dead Man's Party, but I think this note also applies to this song as well. If I'd watched the video, it's weird to see RDJ young, because apparently he was in Back to School. I don't remember. I know he was in this one. It's weird to
Yeah.
see a young RDJ at this point. After,
So, of
you
course, it's not that surprising that you wouldn't like this one that much, because if you don't like a wall of sound,
know. Yeah, true.
because that's where this goes to in the end.
Yeah, very much so.
The It's Alive, it bits and pieces, and then the weird sciences are all just kind of come together. But it's a great way to end up. And if you notice, both singles, I mean, all three singles are pretty damn long for singles.
Yeah.
Just Another Day is over 5 minutes, and then both this one
Well,
and
this
Dead
one
Man's Party are over six.
the title track particularly, they both have a long instrumental break.
Yeah. Like they do, they would just make single versions of
Yeah.
them. But it's interesting to know that they would like put on what they know are going to be the singles as long tracks.
I know the version of Dead Man's Party that I know better from Best of Blingo does have a shorter instrumental break.
Yeah.
This one doesn't. That version of this one just has. I should mention they kind of re-recorded everything for Best of Blingo, except for one song that was a live version from a live album, "Wild Sex in the Working Class." They did a live version, which is better than the studio version.
Why would they re-record that? I'm not really liking bands doing that when for their best ofs.
I think they improved everything personally. Except maybe "Who Wants to Live Forever." I think the original version of that's better. But the version they did of this one definitely has the same long, long, long instrumental section.
Mean, sometimes it means they're cutting out a player.
Yeah, maybe.
Like Journey, that's what they did. They cut out Steve Perry.
Right. So do you recommend it?
Oh, I was really back and forth on this, but the singles, two of them I think are damn strong, and there's a few other songs that are really good too. So yeah, I'd recommend it still.
I originally, just from the singles, assumed this would be in my best list. Got partway through, said no, it's not, which was convenient because I had forgotten about Death, so I had to refigure some stuff. So I just had, had I could slot them in place of De or Death in place of them. There are a few iffy songs, but the songs that are great are amazing. So I do recommend it. That's it for Dead Man's Party until next year when we'll be reviewing Montero by Lil Nas X. We wanted to do some new stuff, and so we're doing some new stuff.
Yep.
This will be interesting. Until then,
Never
of
heard it
course, always
before.
remember, never forget. Wherever you.
I've never heard it before, honestly. I have no idea of any of the songs off this
Oh,
album.
you haven't even heard the singles.
I've heard the name brought up and stuff, and I've heard, of course, Nas X about different things, but
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard Old Town Road, but I don't
Oh.
think that's on this.
No, it's not.
So yeah, this will be totally new for me.
It's kind of a, it's a, I mean, it's essentially, I think, a hip hop album, but it's very
Yeah.
much a pop pastiche
All right.
with some distinctly 80s touches. It's an interesting album. I when it came out, my Twitter timeline just exploded about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, I had to go take a listen. Was not expecting to like it. Was kind of expecting to tap out halfway through, say it's just not my thing. I was pleasantly surprised.
And since we're not coming back for a while, the odds are we're gonna do a tribute instead.
We had this debate on Zombie Takeout. You're convinced we're going to be doing a tribute episode when we come back. There's a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget. Wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.